Bottom line is, there's time to get it done before September 30. We may have to have an extension to allow for an orderly implementation. But we got to get it out of the House. We got to get to conference. That's the first two big challenges.
That won't be next spring like it has been before.
I hope not. Or at the very least, you know, in a lot of commodity groups in a lot of regions, another year of the 08 Farm Bill would not necessarily be a bad thing. Now, there are a couple of areas where, in one in particular, that getting a bill on the books signed in law is important. You know, the drought that suddenly has fired up our neighbors in the Midwest and down into the southern plains in the middle part of the country, and the drought that many of us in the Southwest went through last year and still continues, crop insurance is an important tool, especially in the Midwest. But right now, because of the way the 08 Farm Bill was put together, the money for livestock, sure, the drought disaster assistance program that helps livestock producers, there's no money. The baseline's expired. We in the House bill, and I believe the Senate bill too, both, when the bill is signed into law, not only fund that forward for 5 years, but fill in the hole from before. So livestock producers have a very major vested stake in getting something signed into the books as soon as possible, because they're just exposed.
You mentioned that you wanted to have this an all-encompassing bill.
Yes.
How's that going to be taken in the Midwestern states, and is that really going to continue when you get to the conference?
Well, I understand the perspectives of the various regions and the various commodity groups. My mother's family came from East Texas. My maternal grandfather was born in Indiana. So I have a little appreciation for all regions as well as where I'm from in Oklahoma. But Farm Bill's got to be a Farm Bill everybody can be a part of. You can't have a Farm Bill, call it a comprehensive Farm Bill, if it's written in such a way that a few commodity groups prosper and everyone else is left out. That's not the spirit of the Farm Bills since the AAA Act of 1933. We will have a comprehensive Farm Bill. My best example is to look back to the hurry-up effort in November, December, when we tried to craft language, the principles, the chairwoman of the Senate, the ranking member of the Senate, myself, my ranking Democrat in the House, when we tried to craft a hurry-up Farm Bill to be a part of the supercommittee process. Even though the supercommittee process didn't work, we had a bill that allowed everybody to participate. So my partners in putting this final decision together already have a track record of understanding it's got to be comprehensive. So it's a struggle, and I am having pushback. But the bottom line is still this. If everybody can't be a part of it, it's not a true Farm Bill. If it's not going to be a true Farm Bill, then why have a Farm Bill?
You're going to cut the $35 billion, but are you going to have enough money to do these programs that you really want to do?
Yeah, there's substantial savings by doing away with the direct payments. Ironically, the direct payments are the most World Trade Organization, WTO compliant, in many ways, the best economic policy, but they're not politically doable anymore. The national media, my colleagues in Congress, all bash them without mercy, primarily because they don't understand the economics involved and why they were crafted in the first place. So when you step away from that, that's where the savings come from that generate dollars for a revenue program and for a price program. The choice concept.
I got one, just final one. Is it going to be good for peanuts?
House pass version is. I'm planning on peanuts being one of those crops addressed like all crops in the final conference committee report.
What about this?
Is your biggest challenge going forward getting a partisan issue out of the way and working together?
We leave the committee, I think, with a bipartisan bill. Anybody that had insomnia and watched the markup for 15 hours knows that by the conclusion, I think it was really fascinating for the freshmen and sophomore members of the committee, because in some ways, that was the most policy-oriented markup and debate they've been a part of, either in committee or on the floor. And we've become very polarized over the last decade in the United States House. But the discussion was civil. The amendments were real. The debates were meaningful. I'm going to try to make that happen on the floor of the House. Now, I know I have elements to deal with there. But once again, you have to have faith in the majority of your colleagues to want to do the right thing for the country. I think we can get there. But yes, it'll be a whole different struggle than the committee was. We'll go to the floor.
Mr. Chairman, there's been some people have brought up the idea of splitting out the farm bill, splitting out farm food stamps and nutrition programs. What do you think about that?
Well, I've been around. This is my fourth farm bill. I have a degree in agricultural economics. I come from a part of the country that Mr. Steinbeck wrote his book about, the Grapes of Wrath. So I'm a little sensitive about agricultural policy and what the federal government does and can't do and should do. But I just simply say this. There's a reason that the farm bill process evolved to its present level. From 1933 to the 1960s, we had enough voters in the countryside to pass a pure commodity farm bill. And very producer, working lands-oriented conservation. But as we got into the 1960s, country changed. And suddenly we needed to add some more reinforcement to the foundation. When Jack Kennedy came up as president, came up with the concept of what would be ultimately become food stamps under Lyndon Johnson, the Ag Committee embraced it. Because then that gave us not only country voters who cared, but it also gave us inner city voters who cared. By the time I was subcommittee chairman of jurisdiction over conservation and rural development in the O2 Farm Bill, the suburbs were such a force and a player that that coalition wasn't quite a majority anymore. And that's when we put a tremendous focus on the good conservation work we'd already been doing. So you've got a three-legged stool now. A commodity title, a nutrition, a conservation. You split those three apart. Yes, I think you could pass conservation. But right now, I don't know that you could pass the other two. Mm-hmm. Now, some folks, well-intended, want to split it up and go back to the old way of doing it. But they've not thought through all the pitfalls. And then there's some folks who want to split it up because they want to kill a big part of the farm bill. I'm here to pass a comprehensive farm bill because it's important to rural America, production, ag, processing, and ultimately consumers that we do this. It's important we have a farm bill.
Well, of course, the speaker is yet to put this on the floor, but the drought has gotten huge attention from the national media this last week. Do you think that's going to help or hurt the chances of getting a farm bill on the floor?
I think the drought in the Midwest and as it rolls over into the central part of the West drives the national media focus to it and brings the attention of a lot of members. Now, in all fairness to the speaker, he served on the Ag Committee for 16 years. I served with him for three farm bills. John understands the base principles. He may have a slightly different opinion about how agricultural economics should work, but John understands. Mechanically, in the United States House, it's actually the majority floor leader who assigns floor time. That's Mr. Cantor's responsibility. So I'm spending time with both of them. But regular order, whatever process we have to take, we have to have a farm bill.
Let me throw this scenario at you. Is it possible that yourself and a minority leader meets with the Senate ag chairman and that person, you all get together, come up with a farm bill, and no conference, and then you take it to your House and Senate, and it goes up or down, or it goes to the Appropriations Committee, and they say, okay, it's okay with us, and they say, but we want more money for it. Is that at all feasible?
There are all sorts of scenarios out there that are very possible. What you've laid out is certainly possible. As far as the term that would be used in D.C., pre-conferencing the conference, in a number of areas like conservation, it'll be simple. And I've already discussed with Chairwoman Stabenow that process. In the nutrition title, we agree on what the policy effects are. The question is, which options off the table do we pick? What's the ultimate dollar savings that come from those good reforms? That can be sorted out. And the biggest challenge in a pre-conference or in a regular process is still the commodity title. I think we'll get there. So short answer is, I'd rather do it through regular order. But if that is not an option, then if you have a draft agreed to by the principals, yes, it could turn up in several different legislative forms. As an authorizer, I'm a little hesitant about running a farm bill through an appropriations bill, but if you look at 1996, when Pat Roberts was chairman in the House, they passed the farm bill on a budget reconciliation bill, and that's a bill that cuts spending. It was tucked in there. So there is a record of doing things extraordinary sometimes. I just want to get it done. It's too important to the countryside not to.
How big a challenge is going to be the cuts in nutrition?
The savings we've identified in the House will not take one calorie off the plate of anyone who qualifies. But there are certain faction of the United States House that I really believe that they think that it's the federal government's responsibility to feed everybody, no matter what. They're going to be a challenge. It'll be loud and it'll be shrill. But if you noticed, my ranking member stood with me on the $16.5 billion, and a substantial number of his members voted with him. I think we can achieve the reforms that are necessary and not hurt anybody, and certainly protect the resources that the taxpayers are providing. Because after all, you want to make sure the people who need the resources get them. But by the same token, somebody's paying bills for all this sort of stuff, and they deserve to make sure the resources go to the people that need them.